Hello today, welcome to the greatest year in music history, the only podcast about the greatest year in music history. I'm John.
And I'm Jen, and now that we're done covering albums from the greatest year in music history, aka 1997, we're going to do some bonus episodes.
Yeah, these bonus episodes are actually going to carry us through the rest of the year and complete our first season.
Yeah, and so in today's first bonus episode, we're talking about One Hit Wonders from 97, aka the Oneaters.
Shout out to anyone who's seen That Thing You Do, which is hopefully everyone listening to this pod.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen that movie, please go watch it. It almost came out in 97, but it was late 96. It's okay.
Right. Directed by Tom Hanks.
They talk about Wonders, Oneaters, One Hit Wonder. Like, it's a whole bit in the movie. You'll get it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So our only rules for today's episode was that the song that we choose was the band or artist's biggest hit in the year 1997.
Right. Like, some of them might have been released in late 96 or something to that effect, but they charted in 97 or made it big, like blew it up in 97. That's kind of like when it was known for.
Right.
You know, but really something that hit their biggest, I guess, biggest stride in 97.
Yep.
So we're going to figure this out in the, in like a top five ranking each. We don't really know. Actually, we have no idea what each other's top five are.
Yeah.
And we're just going to see how this goes.
All right.
So, Jen, what's your number five?
Yeah. Hopefully we didn't pick the same songs, but oh well. And I don't think we did, but I'll start.
We'll see.
So my number five is Six Underground by Sneaker Pimps.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did my homework, aka Daft Punk, and
nice. That's a callback to last week's episode. Okay.
Yeah. So they are an English electronic band, and I'm gonna, you know, paint the picture now. Yes, it was on their album. It was a debut album that came out in 96. I know, don't sue me. The album was called Becoming X, and however, I was able to pick it and choose it as my number five because it was released as a single in the U.S. in February 97.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll probably see a through line of that, and we can talk about that after we go through down to number one.
Yeah, sounds good. So mine, it happens again for one of mine later.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I love this song so much.
Same here.
In my homework, I found out that there's a couple samples in the song, which you're going to love this. One of the samples is from a track called Golden Girl.
Great show.
From a soundtrack.
Okay.
For Goldfinger, the James Bond movie.
Of course.
I know. Yeah.
That has a great title song called Goldfinger.
Yeah. And then the other sample is from a De La Soul song called Break of Dawn.
Fantastic.
Which is really cool. I've always loved this song, and I know where I'm starting off on, like, this is going to be a little bit of a spicy, feisty moment.
Okay.
Song. But there's something about it, and then once I read like the songwriter's background for the lyrics, I was like, okay, No wonder I love this song.
Okay.
So
what does that mean?
Yeah, so he says that, and I guess I didn't even really know this until I read this, but he said that all of the lyrics, the song is about death in a small town environment.
Oh, wow.
He said, you grow up in this crap town and you yearn to get out. So a lot of artists, we just can't survive in a place like that. So the essence of that song is that living in a small town is like dying.
So they take the six train underground.
Yeah, I don't
out
know.
Of the town.
Well, 6 feet underground is your debt.
Oh,
burying.
Yeah. I was thinking more Jennifer Lopez on the six.
Yeah. Right.
And that, and the subway's underground. So yeah.
True. Yeah. So he said, for us, it was a huge release to get out and it, and to explore the world, to see what everything else is about. We all wanted that. And that's what the song's about. And then last thing, my favorite lyric, it's so petty, but I love it. It's so controversial and like confrontational, and at little baby 12-year-old Jen.
That's very you. Yeah.
I was like, whoa, is she gonna fight someone? But I love when she says, don't think because I understand I care. Don't think because I'm talking, we're friends.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Them's fighting words.
Dude, it's just kind of badass.
That's great. I love that. I love that song too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your number five?
Okay. My number five is Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison. It's just an all-time, it's an all-timer. I mean, I was, you know, listening to a bunch of songs or whatever, and this one, to me, it's one of those, like, from the first note.
Yep.
You're like, oh, yes, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
It's timeless. It also was first released, technically, in 96 in Europe, where or in the UK, where he's from. Although I actually read he was born in Germany, but primarily grew up in the UK, and that's where it was first released, 96.
Yeah.
And then 97 was when it really charted, as we kind of mentioned before.
Yep.
In the States. And apparently it stayed on the Billboard 100 for 41 weeks.
Yep.
I don't know if that was straight weeks, but still.
In my heart, it's still
charting. Yeah, it's still going.
Mm-hmm. In the top. Yep.
And my favorite part too is that he's like, it's not a comeback song. He would say that like in interviews. Because really? It's like Return of the Mac. He's like, yeah. I think that's just what the song's called.
Oh. Interesting.
But people were like, oh, what are you returning to or returning from? And he was like, oh no, it's not a comeback song per se.
Huh.
I just like, maybe just like the words. I don't know.
But
it's a great song.
I don't mean to cut you off, but that could be like Backstreet's Back.
All right.
I remember when it came out, everybody was like, where did they get? They just arrived.
Where did they come from?
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
It was the mystery.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's my number five.
Okay.
All right. Number four. Let's do it.
Okay. So my number four is Summertime by The Sundays. Yeah, so The Sundays are another English band like Sneaker Pimps, but their genre is more like alt rock. And come to find out, this song was on their third album called Static and Silence, and it came out in 97 officially around the world.
Nice.
So no lawsuits, please. But I honestly fell in love with this song later in life. But then, of course, when I found out it was from 97, I was like, yeah, makes sense.
Like, of course.
Of course, it did. If you've heard it, first of all, leave a comment. Let's become best friends. But basically, if you listen to the lyrics and not just, like, the background that I'm about to talk about, the lyrics make it sound like you're reading an ad in a classified section.
Oh, really?
For somebody who's trying to find love.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's so 90s.
I know. And so, like, some of my favorite lyrics are, and I love this too because I'm Pisces.
Right. But shout out to Pisces.
Yeah. It's like, romantic Piscean seeks angel in disguise. Liverpudlian lady, sophisticated male. Hello, partner. Tell me love can't fail. But then I went and read the background of the song, and that's exactly what it is. So,
oh, really?
The lead singer and the guitarist who ended up dating and getting married.
Sick.
They, as a couple, they wrote the song after a few of their friends signed up for dating service.
Oh, wow. I love how 90s that is. It's a dating service.
I know.
Pre-apps, pre-swiping.
Yeah.
It was like, because I know there were ones you'll see like too in movies and TV where you like record a tape.
Oh.
And then you have like, I'm so-and-so. I like to do this.
And then you submit it somewhere?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What?
I think that's what they did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So yeah, the guitarist said that he was inspired to write the song because practices such as joining singles groups and advertising yourself for romance was becoming more respectable at that time, despite the fact that him and his partner, the lead singer, believed these practices were tragic and funny and took away the chance for people to meet face to face. Which is like, okay, that's your opinion.
Sure, but sure.
Yeah. Anyway, later she says in the lyrics, or have I read too much fiction? Is this how it happens?
Hey.
It's very like...
You never know.
So it feels lighthearted.
Like a Sunday.
Like a Sunday. But also she's saying in the chorus, like, the sunlight banishes the darkness. It's very like, oh, romance is purely romantic. Like romanticized, and it's going to be perfect butterflies and summertime. And it's like, no, there's hard times too.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, no, that's great.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. I know the song. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really familiar with it too much until you had showed it to me.
Yeah.
A few months ago when we were doing research, I guess, before we started this, really.
Yeah. 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 And I think they had one or two other like kind of popular, but nothing ever hit the success like this, like Summertime did.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
What's your number four?
My number four is Naked Eye by Luscious Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, fun name, and it's very luscious. I don't know. Yeah. I guess it was a play on an NBA player from like the 60s and 70s named Lucius Jackson.
Okay.
So I always love a good, you know, play on words like that. Mm-hmm. I also read their first show was opening for the Beastie Boys in Cypress Hill.
Wow.
And they were like the first band to join Beastie Boys' label they started, which is interesting because it's not very Beastie Boys adjacent.
Yeah. But
It's just that really cool 90s sound, a lot of repetition.
Yes.
Another one I wasn't really familiar with at that time, but grew to love later on, probably from you showing it to me, let's be honest.
Okay.
And then it was one of those, oh, of course that came out in 97. The genesis of this pod is the listening to a song, saying this really rules, and then going, when did this come out? Oh, yeah, 97.
See, I'm telling you. Yeah.
But yeah, I love the vocal patterns, too, and like the harmonies that just go like on, purposefully on and on and on and on and on over and over and over throughout the whole song. It's one of those that like it doesn't really need to ever end.
No.
Which is sort of that perfect earworm of why I think a lot of one hit wonders are, you know, cause you just want to hit, you just want to hear it again. You want to hear it more and more and more.
Right.
And Catchy. They didn't really have anything else anywhere near this, big after.
Yeah.
They did release, I think, a couple albums and EPs and stuff like that.
Okay.
In the late 90s. Yeah.
I love this song.
I know.
I'm so glad you picked it. Yeah. That's awesome. Cool.
So we're cruising along.
I know.
We got a number three's up next. What do you got?
Okay. My number three is Bop Hansen.
Well, there you go.
I can't.
So this is interesting though, right? Yeah. Like this is something I'm wrestling with too, of like what makes a one hit wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I was reading. Okay. First of all, apparently M-Bop was nominated for 2 Grammys.
Makes sense.
I think it was worldwide just so catchy.
Oh yeah, totally. It was everywhere.
It's still in like top 500 of all time pop songs.
Right.
Number, I don't know, in like the top 50.
Makes sense.
It's just so good. Well, and it was a little bit unique because other boy bands were...
Use real words. Yeah. And they were like, we're not doing that. We're little kids.
Right.
We're just going to say bop.
We're just going to make up words.
We're going to scat.
They were like really little at the time. Like very young.
They were, legitimately children.
Uh-huh. But, and the other boy bands at the time were, some of the members were well into their upper 20s. And the, I guess, stardom or crushes, it was from a younger crowd, but they were still grown.
Right.
Fully grown.
Yeah.
Whereas Hanson was like almost a kid band.
Yeah. Especially when they first broke out. I mean, they're still around now, obviously, yeah. But they were, I mean, I think the, not the lead singer, but...
Drummer.
Well, no, he was like an infant, but I mean, I think the other, well, I don't really know their names, but the other one, he was older.
Isaac, 17.
Still a teenager though.
Yeah.
And then I think, was the drummer even a teenager?
12.
Wow.
I know. Well, we were 12.
Very true.
At that year. I know. I remember thinking or reading about them, and I'm sure one of the teeny bopper or whatever
Teen
they're
Beat.
Called. Teen, yeah. I was like, wow, I'm the same age as Zach.
That could be you one day.
Yeah. Okay, so Hanson is not from the UK.
Okay.
As opposed to a lot of the others in our top five. They're from Tulsa, Oklahoma. This was on... Mbop was on their debut album called Middle of Nowhere. So here's the thing about Mbop. It was a huge hit. If you listen to it now, if you listen to the lyrics now, it's actually really good and kind of beyond their time.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm going to read a little bit about it.
Go on.
So Zach described the meaning of Mbop. He said, it represents a frame of time or the futility of life. Things are going to be gone, whether it's your age, your youth, or maybe the money you have, or whatever it is. And all that's going to be left are the people you've nurtured and have really built to be your backbone and your support system.
Wow.
Hello?
All that from Mbop.
Knock me out. And so, yeah, I'm just going to read the lyrics and I might cry.
Okay.
But if you read it for what it, if you just forget the sounds of their voice, forget the song, forget the upbeat, if you just listen to the lyrics, you're going to be like, oh my God, these people were 12.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many relationships in this life. Only one or two will last. You go through all the pain and strife. Then you turn your back and they're gone so fast.
Wow.
So
that's heavy.
Hold on to the ones who really care. In the end, they'll be the only ones there when you get old and start losing your hair.
Oh, she can't continue. She can't finish it.
Can you tell me who will still care? Like,
well, no one.
Hello?
Oh, that's probably not what they were meant at 12.
It's so deep.
Yeah.
I just... Anyway.
I'll check in once I start losing my hair.
Oh.
To see if anyone still cares.
I love that song, but... I have to admit, I was fully obsessed with Hanson when this song came out. And
of course,
yes, it was probably a one-hit wonder. Where's the Love, track 5, ended up becoming a kind of big single.
Black Eyed Peas, yes, go on.
But I legitimately listened to this whole album a lot. And I have to recommend Thinking of You, track 1, and Man from Milwaukee, which is the last track. I don't care. Judge me. Send your lawsuits to greatestmusicpod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was definitely one where they had another, you could say, hit. But still, though, like the... Right. You know, I saw some on something we'll get to later. I saw a subreddit talking about, like, is this band really a one-hit wonder or not or whatever? Because they had this song, too, and they had this song, too.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the replies are like... Well, they had those other songs, and you look on Spotify and it says they have a few million plays, and the other one says, the big one says it has 200 million plays.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Yes, they had other great songs. Yes, they had other albums. Yes, they might have had other quote-unquote hits. But the disparity between their big song and other songs is kind of like, in like, that's like half the definition of the one-hit wonder.
Right.
As a concept, I mm-hmm. think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, full agree. What about you? What's your number three?
Okay, number three. I love the anticipation.
Because I
just want one of them to be the same.
That may have already happened, but go ahead.
We can't tell yet. No. We don't know. All right, my number three is How Bizarre by OMC. Like, my list is all over the place, but here's the thing. I really like these catchy songs.
Yeah.
It's got a sick trumpet line. It had a really cool video. They look so cool. And they're a little convertible.
Yep.
Driving around with probably using that rear projection, you know. I don't think they were actually driving. But anyway, this one is interesting. So they're from New Zealand.
Oh.
I didn't know that. R.I.P. to the singer. Unfortunately, he passed away in 2010.
Oh, dang.
It was a illness, you know, years of decline. We don't need to get into that. We're trying to keep this light here. But it technically was released in New Zealand in like 95.
Wow.
And then wasn't really, it's not that it didn't do anything and took 2 years to get popular. It was sort of those, like, it was released in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
in that late 96, early 97 era.
Yep.
Or time frame. And then took off and was a huge hit.
Wow.
Yeah. And I also learned OMC stands for something, the Otara Millionaires Club.
Stop.
Which I guess, imagine that's some sort of reference to New Zealand.
Really?
But yeah, and it was really cool too, because like I was reading about the various charts it was on,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a really long-standing high placement on New Zealand charts from 95, 96, 97, 90, like
2024.
Yeah. Next year, the year after that. But yeah,
amazing.
I just, it's very unique and different. There's like this thing that kind of happened too in the 90s where you would have people doing these kind of either samples or their own instrumentation of like trumpets and horns. And like there was, you know, ska was really taking off, but also you had that swing movement of retro, whatever. So this is kind of has that, it's just a great pop song, but also has this trumpet through line during the parts. And it has a really cool juxtaposition between the guys, you know, kind of not monotone singing, but it's like in a pretty tight, like, register.
Yeah.
And then you cut to the girl singing and having the like longer notes, bigger harmonies and stuff like that. And I just think that song is so cool.
It is. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I have to admit right here, right now, I may have forgot that that came out in 97.
Wow.
I guess it came out in 97 in the US.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
Yep. That's my number three.
Awesome. Okay. My number two, Return of the Mac.
Wow. Okay. That's fantastic.
By Mark Morrison.
That's fantastic.
I didn't want to say anything, but listen, I mean, just everything you've already said.
You might say that is his return to the list.
See?
Because we mentioned him earlier. And then now he's back. It's the return.
Oh, my God.
It's the return of the Return of the Mac.
I just...
Yes.
It's so good.
I mean, yeah.
When I was making my list, I was like, I can't even describe my love for it. It's just that it was never overplayed.
Correct.
It feels like a redemption arc, even if he says it's not.
Right.
I just love that song. I don't know. But yeah. I thought, so I didn't read what you said, that he doesn't consider it a comeback song.
Yeah.
But the lyrics are just clearly a comeback.
Maybe it's not in the sense we think it means, or yeah, something like that. I don't know.
But I love it because he's just like, you lied to me. It made me cry, but I'm back.
Yeah.
And I'm on the top of the world.
With that song.
Watch this flow.
Yeah.
And then what does he say? He's back to run the show. I mean,
come on.
And I read some review that was like, it's the epitome of wear your sunglasses at night. Like, he's just so cool.
Yeah.
You can break his heart and he's going to make a comeback, is what he's trying to tell you. Anyway, I love it. Good pick.
Yes, great pick. Great pick.
So, yeah.
We're down my number two.
Your number
two. That we're on? Okay.
What's your number two?
My number two is Your Woman by Whitetown.
Oh.
Yes.
All right.
So this one, again, there's a trumpet through line in two of my five picks. I don't know. But this one is a little different because it's actually a sample from a song from the 30s.
Oh.
So it's one of those, like, if you listen to it, I think you kind of hear this little, like, staticky kind of something. And it almost sounds like a record being, what we know is like a record being put, a needle being put on the record.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, is that just how the recording was from the early 30s?
Wow.
Yeah. So the, now the song it was sampled. So this song is called Your Woman. The song it was sampled, that it samples from the 30s, is called My Woman.
Okay.
Someone by the name of Lou Stone.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Stone's kid, of course.
Right, right.
Yeah, and it's great. And what's funny is that, so you got early 30s to 90s, and then now in the mid 2020s, Dua Lipa sampled
Your Woman.
Now I'm not sure if she sampled Your Woman or if she sampled My Woman.
Because
it might literally just be kind of the trumpet.
The original sample.
Right.
Interesting.
We'll have to do a deep dive on that.
Okay. Dear Dua Lipa. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, another like earworm, repetitive in a good way.
Yeah.
Kind of has that 90s sound that it's not trip hop, it's just I mean, Sneaker Pimps kind of have that too. I don't know what it is, but they have it.
Yeah,
you know.
Agreed.
And it's another one that, like, you know, unfortunately for them, you know the song, you have no idea what it's called, you have no idea who released it, the name of the artist. I had to look it up. I was seeing it on all these lists, and I'm like, I guess I need to Google what this is. And then when I put those together, another instance of, oh, of course this was big in 97.
Yep.
Why wouldn't it be big in 97?
Yep.
As well as, oh, wow, I literally had no idea that's what they were called.
The name of this band.
Nor the name of the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But that's my number two.
Great. I love that song. All right, my number one. Hopefully it's not your number one.
Or hopefully it is. That would be great.
I think you might know what it is. Possibly.
Oh, yeah.
But we're
Could be anything.
Here we go.
Okay.
My number one is The Freshman by The Verb Pipe. For the life of me, I cannot remember what made us think that we
were wise and we never compromised. For the life nice.
You knew it.
I had an idea.
Yeah. So for the longest time, this was my number one favorite song of all time, regardless of 97.
Of course.
Yeah. But it's now taken a backseat to a couple other songs, which I'm going to talk about in subsequent episodes / seasons.
Wow.
Yeah. But okay. So the Verb Pipe, they're not a British band. They're from America. This song was on their third studio album, which came out in 96. Don't send lawsuits
okay.
to greatestmusicpod@gmail.
Wait till my number one. But anyway, go
okay.
on. I've shouted out a song earlier from 95, but go on. Yes.
But the single was released in January of 97. Of course, the reason I love this song is the emotion behind
sure.
it. If you listen to it, you can almost, okay, to this day, it's 2024, I get the goosies every single time I listen to this song.
That's true.
You can just feel it in the way the entire bridge is him practically just screaming the lyrics in a good way. But I honestly, it wasn't until years after 97 that I truly realized that it's about Schmishmorton.
Wow.
Yeah. But according to
I can't believe you just said that on the pod. But anyway, yes, go on, please.
According to an interview I read, it's kind of a story. It didn't actually happen. Or if it did happen, it was like a friend of a friend.
In high school?
But at a very young age. And so I always knew, even in 97, hearing it for the first time, I always knew, they made some bad choices as a freshman in high school. Mm-hmm. And now they're faced with like the consequences of those or whatever. And it's really hard, but, it's just such a good song. And I have this vivid memory of seeing them perform it live, on the Jenny McCarthy show.
Wow.
Of all shows. I know.
Fantastic. You mean Jenny McCarthy Wahlberg?
That's her.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Hanson also went on her show and performed.
Hey.
And I wrote in my diary at the time how sad I was that I wasn't in the studio audience.
You wish you were Jenny McCarthy?
I wish I was Jenny McCarthy.
Hyphen Wahlberg?
Probably Jennifer McCarthy hyphen Wahlberg.
Wow.
If we're being real. I don't know. Maybe her born name is Jenny. But
I'm going to assume not. But
yeah. It's okay. I'm over it. But I still remember the Verpipe performing the Freshman live on the Jenny McCarthy show. And it was so good. I found it on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I could have sworn that he gets so emotional by the end that he's like practically crying, but he's not. Yeah. But I am.
Yeah, it was you the whole time.
It was me. That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love it. I would read the lyrics, but I've done enough of that.
Oh, okay.
Just go listen to it.
Yeah.
It's so good. All right. I'm done.
Down to my number one. So we did not have the same number one.
Okay. What's your number one?
Okay. This one, I don't know if this is a cheat, but we're going to go with it anyway.
All right.
My number one is one word, Love Fool by The Cardigans. So here's the thing.
Okay.
Two reasons this might be a cheat. If so, come at me. That's fine. One, yes, technically released in 96.
Okay.
Didn't really make it big in the States in 97. Two, they do have another song that's really, 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 really good. My Favorite Game.
Oh, right.
But, okay, so your reaction just right there.
Yeah.
I think lends to this is the band I was referring to where My Favorite Game and some other ones, they have 10 to 20 million listens on Spotify, but in the 200 plus million listens is
exactly.
Loveful.
Exactly.
Weird for me. I know all of this sounds very strange, maybe if you know me well, but it's got the 90s. Very just cool sound,
mm-hmm.
Amazing vocals. So they're actually from Sweden,
which
is fun.
Yeah.
That was kind of a lot of these. There's sort of a through line of, it was released in Sweden in 96, or it was released in the UK, like Return of the Mac. It was the UK in 96, and then didn't really break out here until 97.
Yep.
But it has that, I don't know how else to just put it other than it's just this really cool 90s sound.
Yeah.
I loved back then and not overplayed. Still amazing to this day.
I fully agree.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember, what was the other one? My Favorite Game. Yeah. I remember My Favorite Game and loving that one. But yeah, if someone were to like come up to me on the street and say, "What's the Cardigans' favorite song or best song?" I'd be like, "Loveful."
You're right. Yeah. Right.
Man, I love. Was that? Was Loveful on the Romeo plus Juliet soundtrack?
You better believe it. See? Which also, yes, it came out in 96. I understand. However, the chart topping, the yep. video, the See? Sensation, the greatest Swedish sensation since ABBA is the Cardigans.
I love
in
it.
My humble opinion.
Oh my God. That's so awesome. I love that song. It's actually not even in my honorable mentions. I don't know who I think I am.
Wow.
Some sort of... Not 97.
You're a purist that was listening to Swedish pop in 96. Well, no. Maybe, do you associate it with Romeo plus Juliet?
Only a tiny, tiny, tiny yeah. bit.
It wasn't like the lead single. That was yeah. the little kid singing in the church.
But is it My Favorite Game? What's it called?
My Favorite Game? Love yeah. Fool.
Their other My Favorite Game. That was also on a soundtrack. Was it, don't tell me.
I would believe it.
It was some action movie.
Oh, I don't know.
Damn it. Okay, we'll put it on the next episode. So listen, come back.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing.
Should we go through some honorable mentions?
Yeah, let's do it.
So I'm surprised you didn't mention, unless I have my years wrong, I'm surprised you didn't mention Flagpole Sitta.
I know.
as your top five.
Yeah.
It's
true. It's true. It's not even in my honorable mention. Who am I?
Wow, interesting. So another one for me that was like Cardigans, where they definitely had another song that was really good or whatever, but doesn't touch the first one. And I was seeing a lot of confirmation on the internet that One Headlight.
I know.
From the Wallflowers.
But when did it come out? Their album.
Oh, that I'm not sure. But it was making a lot of these lists. And I know they have, Sixth Avenue Heartache?
Uh-huh.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
But One Headlight, I mean, I hear the guy's dad is famous.
Who?
It was a joke.
Oh, I get it. Oh, hi.
As made famous by Timothy Chalamet in a new terrible looking movie.
Sorry. I get it. I think they came to our small town in South Texas.
Oh, wow.
The Wallflowers. And my cousin went, who I've talked about in previous episodes.
Sure.
And she said his blue eyes, you could see...
Lit up a room?
Uh-huh. Even though it was an outdoor show, that his blue eyes were just piercing.
Yeah, I
through
believe
the outdoors.
I believe it.
I believe it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? I have a bunch of others, but what do you have for honorable mentions?
Yeah, I have six that I can talk about. Bitch.
Wow.
By Meredith Brooks.
Oh, that's a song. Okay.
That one's really good. A little bit underground.
Yeah.
Is a song called Above by Finger 11.
All right.
Please go listen to it. Listener, if you're listening. It's very good. I think they had a couple other songs, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Torn.
On my list.
Natalie Imbruglia.
Of course.
Yeah. But that whole album... Okay, Torn was her number one, which, wait, did you know, I found out recently, it's a cover.
I have that written down.
Can you believe?
I didn't know that from from early 90s, I think.
Yeah.
So not so old, but
no,
a few years later, yeah.
That whole album is good. You know I have other songs from that album on my on various playlists.
That's true.
It's so good.
Did you know that she was not that song, the cover, obviously, yeah. Was nominated for a Grammy.
Really?
And she lost to some hack named Celine Dion.
Oh.
Some song called My Heart Will Go On. Like, who's even...
I don't know. No idea. Show Me Love. Robin.
Of course, another one. I'm like, I love Robin. I love Robin's recent albums from like 2020 or whatever it was. But yeah, I was seeing her pop up on a lot of lists. I believe another Swedish sensation.
It is. But I think it's one of those situations where it came out in 95, but Show Me Love was the last single and it came out in 97.
And blew up here.
Uh-huh. Or something like it's something to that effect.
That's an all-timer, though.
I know.
That's a great song.
It should have been in my top five, honestly. Naked Eye.
Of course.
Luscious Jackson. And then All For You, Sister Hazel.
Okay, that was another one I was wondering where it was.
Yep.
Because I know that's a big one for you.
Mm-hmm. I love that song.
Interesting.
So, but I'm telling you, this is why we're here. This is why we have a podcast. I could rattle off a few more, but we have more episodes. I have to freaking save these.
That's true. I'll just quickly go through my honorable mention, the rest of mine. Yeah, mentioned One Headlight. We talked about Torn. Eagle Eye Cherry, Save Tonight.
I know.
Like, that song also isn't very, like, me. It's kind of like a folksy, up-tempo pop song, but it's still really good.
I know. It's so
really
catchy.
Yeah, it's really catchy. Still holds up, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Amber, This Is Your Night.
I know. Okay. All right.
Club banger. Doesn't get old. Perfect. No.
So good.
It's just
dance.
It's
the
one
number
of the best
one dance songs.
90s dance songs.
Put it on the club right now.
Maybe we'll talk about it. I love that she's like, I'm going to go by one name and one name only. Something really unique.
Cher's not the only.
Amber.
Yep.
And yeah, maybe that'll make an appearance on a future episode. We don't know. And her real name's not Amber. It's Marie Claire Kremers. And she's also from Europe. And the big through line.
Okay.
And let's see. One other one I mentioned. DJ Cool. Let Me Clear My Throat. Which is just...
I was like, do I put it on my list?
Yes, you do. And again, another, like, that beat is crazy.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that it's, like, not a sample, because it's him saying it, but, like, it's actually inspired from or whatever from a Beastie Boys song where they say, let me clear my throat off of License to Ill. Called The New Style.
Yeah.
Which I think was 94.
Okay.
And even really the hit that we all kind of know and love of the song was actually like kind of a live recording. And there's really only like one verse and it's mostly just kind of like crowd work.
Yep.
But it gets you so hype.
I know. And I feel...
And again, just that beat is just insane.
Undeniable.
Insane.
I know. I feel like... It's to this day, it's played like at sports events.
Yeah.
All the time. Basketball.
Yeah, I think it was shout out to Buffalo. Buffalo makes me want to shout.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Sabres, the hockey team, they at one point like adopted it as that, like I think their walkout song or skate out song. I'm not sure how that works.
Amazing.
On the ice, even though we live in Colorado. But anyway.
Get me to a Sabres game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
So I think that's the rest of my honorable mentions.
Wow. Well, there's a couple others I can mention.
Go for it.
That probably won't make it on a future episode.
Okay.
But they're not really in my honorable mention either. They're just...
Dishonorable mention.
Dishonorable mention.
They're just mentions.
They're there. Brimful of Asha.
Okay. I was wondering where that was too. I was so, like, when is she going to drop the Asha song?
It was a song.
That's true. Can confirm.
It was good, but I'm not like, oh my God, this is the best song I've ever heard. It's in my top. Like, it was just a hit for whatever reason. And then another one.
Go on.
Tub Thumping.
I was going to say, where's Chumbawamba?
It's because it was overplayed.
That's true. That's very true.
Nobody wants to hear it anymore ever again.
No.
No. Oh, there's a couple others that might never make it on another episode. I'll say it real quick.
Go for it.
That I think came out in 97. Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? And
oh, yeah. I saw that. I wondered if that was technically a one-hit wonder or not. But I guess so, right?
I don't know any other Paula Cole song.
Okay.
Do you?
No.
Okay, see? and then Sean Colvin, Sonny Came Home. Sonny's here. Sonny's home.
Yeah.
That was a pretty big hit, and I don't know any other Sean Colvin songs.
Right.
So
I want to shout out one more that I cannot believe wasn't your number two.
Stop.
But maybe I'm just wrong on the year.
What?
Duncan Sheik.
So I looked into it. It's not 97.
Not 97? Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. It's okay.
That's fair.
Yeah. It would have been number... Yeah, exactly.
Two behind Fred. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, right. All right.
Well, I think that might do it for this week. That was fun.
I know.
Different format.
It was.
Yeah.
So bonus episode number one done.
Yeah. Thank everybody for listening. Make sure to follow us on social. Again, we're at Greatest Music Pod on your favorite social platforms.
Yeah, and tell us your favorite one-hit wonders. We'd love to hear from you. And give us a follow and a rating. Remember, 5 stars only.
True. This season, we're only taking 5-star reviews.
Right. On Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Pocket Casts.
And stay tuned where next week's bonus episode is going to be something we're calling, Now That's What I Call Rock, Part 1.
Yes. So in part one next week, we're going to cover our top rock songs that are a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah. Songs from albums or maybe even albums, we're not really sure, that missed the cut for getting their own main episode.
Of a full album.
For the first season of the show.
Yeah.
But awesome. All still from 97.
Yep.
See you next week.